parallels that we can find, the reminder of God's greatness, God's love, God's encouragement, just the fact how God helps Joshua to step up and lead really encourages me. And this, I've been real excited about this message, the application to Joshua 4, all week, actually. I guess you'll see as we move forward with the message. But Joshua 4, let's read verses 4 through 7. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for the words you have preserved for us. Thank you for this whole book of Joshua. How encouraging it is to us, just the proof of your faithfulness, the proof of your power. Please help us now as we study. Please give us understanding. Please help me with my words to say the right things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, we're four chapters in to Joshua. We've seen God do some wonderful things so far. We've seen Joshua be called. We've seen Joshua step up to the challenge. We've seen the spies that were housed with Rahab, and God preserved them. They got out of there. We've seen the children of Israel prepared to cross the Jordan, the crossing over the Jordan. Now we get some details about the crossing over the Jordan. We get the next step for the children of Israel. So we're just going to look at every verse quickly, make an application. I don't think this is going to be a long sermon, but the application is there. So verses 1 through 3, let's look at those verses together. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So what's happening here is God told Joshua, get the 12 guys and have them take the 12 stones, pull them out, and they're going to go make a memorial when we get into the lodging place, which would be in Gilgal. We'll see those details come out. But do you remember, it's been several weeks ago when we were in chapter 3. I said, remember those 12 guys that Joshua was supposed to pick out. Joshua 3:12. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. So that's, I said, just remember that, it's coming up. Well, here we go. Chapter 4, there's 12 guys who knew they were going to have a job. They cross over, Joshua says, go get your 12 stones and carry them out of the river. We're going to make a memorial. So let's look at verses 4 and 5. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. So in thinking of men, in thinking of getting a rock for a monument, remember, I want to play the man card here, right? There's 12 guys who are supposed to get a rock to put on their shoulders that they're going to make a monument with. So think of 12 men. It's competition is how I'm seeing it. They're making a monument. You need big rocks to make a monument that people are going to look at in the future down the road. if the kids are going to say, hey, what's that for? It's not going to be a pile of 12 little stones. You know, those scatter. So then you get these 12 men to carry a rock on there. If it's me, I'm getting the biggest rock possible, right? It says to carry them on your shoulders. So anyways, that's what's happening. These 12 guys get a rock, each man a rock, 12 rocks representing the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. So they carry them out of the river. I just love who can get the biggest rock competition. Then verses 6 and 7, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So they're getting these rocks. They're going to build a monument. Then he says, when the kids ask, you tell them. He knew the kids were going to ask. If you have kids, you know they're going to have questions. Why is this? Why is this? Anybody have kids? I have four of them. It's why all day long. Why this? Why that? If the kids see a big pile of stones, hey, Daddy, why are those stones there? Well, if they ask, you're going to tell them. And the rocks were for a memorial, a visible reminder so that they would not forget what God had done for them, to get them, the miracle he did to get them across the Jordan River and into the promised land. So that's what's going on. They're going to be building a memorial, and you know the kids are going to ask, what's it there for? Then you get to tell them. Verse number 8, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. So they do what they obey. They do what they're supposed to do. Verse number 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So they were supposed to take rocks out of the river to build a monument down the road where they're going to spend that first night into the new land, build a monument there. But then it also says Joshua took stones and he built a monument in the river for a reminder of, hey, that's where we crossed. That's where God helped us cross this river. So verse number 10, for the priest which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. So the priest stood in the river. Picture the priest standing there. Joshua's addressing the people. Then he said, let's go. The people hurried. They crossed over the river. But the priests were still standing in the river for a while, I'm guessing. I don't know the exact time. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago, how brave that was of them to stand in the river with God damming up the river down the road. You know, any time for me, I'm like, you know, I hope God holds out the whole time I'm standing here, because I don't want that coming at me. But anyways, they stood in the river until everybody got across. Verse number 11, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. So there's the 2.5 tribes we've talked about earlier that they wanted to stay on the other side of the river to be their inheritance. But their deal was, you got to go to battle with us. You got to help us fight, and then you can return back and stay on that side of the Jordan. So these folks cross over the river ready for battle. Verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. So those 2.5 tribes go with the other tribes into the land. Verse number 12 and 13, they would live on the other side, but they still had to go to battle with the others. Then verse 14, another favorite verse in the book of Joshua. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses, all the days of his life. So here's Joshua rising up to be the leader. God's promised I'll be with you. God's promised I'll encourage you. God's promised I will be there. I will help you. Do not fear. Go forward. Do what I have for you to do. And now what is God doing? And the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. He promoted him. He became great in the sight of Israel as their leader. And he compared him, how they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So God just like, Joshua, I'm here with you. I'm going to help you do this. And then he starts lifting Joshua up in the sight of the people again as their leader. Verses 15 through 18. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all its banks, all his banks, as they did before. So we could skip over that. Yay, the people crossed, the priests get out, the water flows to normal. We could fly right over that. But I want you to notice how it said the water returned unto its place as it overflowed the banks as it did before. We've seen previously that at this time of year, the water was out of its banks like it was before. But think of the potential, because I think there was a miracle that happened here. God had just dammed up this river up above them, and all the headwaters, all the tributaries, all the stuff running into it, God stopped. It says that he heaped it up. So we've just experienced flooding on that side of the state. All this extra water is stopped. It's heaping up. It's backing up. God says when the priests step out of the water, it returned back to its normal. That's a miracle. Think of a big dam breaking. That water doesn't flow out of the spillway normal like it normally would when that dam breaks. It floods all the way to the other side of Colorado when it happened here. But here, God does a miracle that we can quickly just read over, skip through. I never saw it before I was studying it. That God had the water return to normal. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if it slowly came off that heap and filled its normal ways. But I just want to give God the credit here for he did something that's impossible for man to do. Then verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. So that's where the people are. It's about 1 mile and one quarter east of Jericho. So that's where they're camping. Their first night in the new land, Gilgal. Verse number 20. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So they build that memorial there. Verses 21 through 24. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. So the purpose of the stones, so that the children might know, so that the parents can remind the kids, hey, this is what God did. So that all the people of the earth may know. Did you catch that in verse 24? That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. And people had already been hearing about it, because remember Rahab in chapter 2 said, hey, we've heard what your God has done. The courage is gone from us. We're scared of your God. We're scared of what you can do. But they built this memorial to remind people of how great God is, that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that people would have a proper view of God, and that they would fear the Lord your God forever. So here's the question. Are we passing along God's greatness? Specifically here, it's children to their children, but at the end of the chapter, it says that all the earth may know. Is God still great? He's great in Joshua. He's great in the Old Testament. We can look at those stories. He's great in the New Testament too. But today, 2013, is God still great? Does God still do great things? Absolutely. Has God done anything great in your life? We're still breathing. Our heart's still beating. We're here. Most of you can probably see me. Maybe. Some of you can hear me. Has God done anything great in your life? Do your kids know about it? Do your grandkids know about it? In church, we'll say, yes, God is great. We'll sing about it. But are we passing that on to our kids, to our grandkids? Are we passing it to the younger generation? Whoever that might be, whether we're related or not, are we passing down God's greatness? Are we passing it down to the ones that can continue passing along God's greatness? Because that's the way it works. The younger people get older, and the older people eventually pass on. Are we passing it down to the people who can continue passing it on? Is God still great? That's the question. Are we passing the information along? How will the next generation know that the hand of the Lord is mighty? Are they going to guess at it? Are they going to search for it in other places? Or are we going to tell them? How will they have the proper view of God? Well, we need to tell them. We need to share God's great works in Scripture. And we need to share God's great works in our own lives. If God's done something amazing for you, which He has, tell your kids. Tell your neighbor's kids. Tell your grandkids. Pass it along. God's worthy to be praised. Let's pass it on. Psalms 145. I'm going to read all the verses of it, so you can turn there if you want. But with what we've just said, what we've just seen from Joshua, having that in mind, I want to look at Psalm 145. We'll start in verse number 1, and I'll just read through them. I will extol thee, my God. I will lift my God up. That's what he's saying. O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He's so great, we can't even figure it all out. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. That's how it's supposed to go. One generation shall declare to the next. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. That abundantly utter, that's in verse number 7, that's talking about to gush forth, to overflow. Like what the Jordan River should have done when God let it start flowing, that's what we should be doing with God's greatness. We should abundantly utter the goodness of God. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. As we think about the children of Israel crossing over the Jordan River, as we think about the monument that they built so that the next generation could know that God is great, that he is mighty, so that they could reflect on his wonderful works, let's take that into today and let's apply it to, let's let the generation know how good God is. Let's not just be sponges absorbing God's goodness and not share, not ring it out to people, not share how great, how good our God is. I want my kids to know who God is, to know how great God is. And I just don't want to go through the motions of, hey, you should tell God he is great. I want to show them God is great. God's been good to us. God's been good to our family. Here's why we love God so much. Here's what God has been doing. Here's what God has done for us. Let's be transparent with that next generation of God is good and here is why. Let's just not soak up all God's goodness and hide it. He's too good to hide. Let's pray.
Shine to be living testimonies of how great you are, and I pray that we will give you the glory, the honor that you do deserve. Please help us, Father. Please help us to be what you want us to be each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.